Good morning, everyone. I'm very glad to be here. I'm always thankful for these opportunities that I have. Usually I'm not that well known, and that's fine with me. That's how I like to live life. I like to be an unknown to some degree. But I'm an 8th grade science teacher. That's my trade. Throughout the week, I teach 8th grade science, and I enjoy teaching 8th grade science. Some people might not, but I do. And I really enjoy doing that. But on the weekends, every once in a while, I get asked to speak, and I was asked to speak for this, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity. But what I want to do is echo a few things that some people have already said. Duffy's Youth Rally is going to be next Saturday. I would encourage you to go to that. I'm one of the speakers, but I wouldn't encourage you to go for that. That's a disservice. But one of my best friends is speaking, and someone who I don't know is speaking, so I hope you guys will try to make it to that as well. Our topic that's been given to me is trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. There's one trouble over there on the wall. It's the rainbow colored one. Hopefully you're familiar with it. Hopefully you're familiar with the objective. You have a few pieces. Your objective is to get out onto the board by rolling a 6. And then you work your way around the board. And then you get into the finish line. You cross the finish line and you're safe. But you guys, as you're going through a critical age of life, as you go through these days of middle school, high school, these ages, something's going to happen. It's called trouble. And a lot of times people don't like to talk about trouble to Christians for whatever reason. I don't know why, because when I was young, no one talked to me about trouble, and then when I became a Christian, I was surprised of all the trouble that I had in my life. The main message is if you keep God in your life, you're going to keep trouble out of your life. And we hear that, and I think sometimes we get a wrong message. The message that we get is, as Christians, we're going to have no trouble in our lives. We're going to just go through, and we're going to coast, and there's going to be no problem. It's going to be roses, rainbows, unicorns. All of them going to be great. But the reality is there's trouble in our lives, even as Christians. In fact, when you decide to become a Christian, you might find that you have more trouble than you did before. But it's the type of trouble that we're going to look at today. In a game of trouble, what happens is you get out on that path of life, and you start going one at a time, or whatever you roll. Hopefully you're familiar with the game. And there's a special thing that can happen in trouble. If an opponent can come up behind you, and they can hit you, and then you have to go back to start. And that's point number one, is that throughout life, you're going to take some hits. You are going to take some hits in life. I didn't know that when I became a Christian around my sophomore year of high school. I don't know why. If I blocked it out, if I wasn't listening to the people around me, but for some reason, I thought when I became a Christian, all my trouble was over. My trouble just began. You know, it's funny because the Bible talks about this in many places. In John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, John starts talking about this a little bit. Jesus, he says, if the world hates you, don't be surprised, basically. He's saying, don't be surprised if the world hates you because it hated me. We forget about that sometimes, that Jesus came to this world. He lived like he did. He died the way he did. He did all these nice things. He was healing people. He wasn't offering trouble to anyone, but yet he was hated. It's not a surprise that Jesus, who did so much for so many, was hated. Don't be surprised if the world hates you because they hated Jesus. Now, some people probably don't think you should hear that, but I think you should, because this is what happened to me when I got to high school. Because I got to high school and I became a Christian sophomore year. I was raised in the church, yes, but I was a doubter. I was a big doubter. I had every doubt in my mind, but I studied, and I found out that this is the truth, this is the Word of God, and I submitted myself to it. The idea of the one church was an idea I loved, and I looked around in the community and saw all these different denominations, but I loved that idea of one church and one family. I was so excited that I ran into all my friends at high school. And I went, hey, you got to hear this message. You've got to hear about God. He died to save us all. He purchased the church with his own blood, which we can be added to, and we can all be one family together. But they didn't like that idea. I was rejected. I was ostracized. I was pushed aside. I took some hits because I wanted to be a Christian. Not a counterfeit Christian, as we've already talked about. I wanted to be a Christian and spread the word to all as best I could. And because of that, I took some hits. I was a basketball player. I was ostracized. Well, you know, Kyle, he won't come drink with us. You know, Kyle, he won't do this or that because he's a Christian. The reality is, as it goes around your life, if you choose a Christian life, you're going to take some hit just because you're a Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, all who desire to live righteous will suffer persecution. Persecution comes in any form. I've had people who, after I preached that, they said to me, Kyle, that's too rough. Well, why do you say that? You're probably using that out of context. If you desire to live righteously, you will suffer persecution. And the reason that I think some people can talk about that is they're not taking hits in their life. Because they are living the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
If you live the Christian life, you're going to take some hits. And it's going to hurt. And you know what happens in a day of trouble is when someone comes up behind you and hits you, you have to go back. And it hurts. You don't want to go back. If you go back and get hit, you feel down, you feel bad, you have to go back. Why? All these things happen because you're a Christian. Because you decide to not do things that your peers decide to do. You're going to have trouble in your life just because you're a Christian. You're going to take hits from others in life. And then the other one is the devil. He's going to come after you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be diligent. Because your adversary, the devil, speaks about like a roaring lion. He thinks he may devour. The devil doesn't play games, does he? He knows how to get you. He knows how to get me. You have to be careful. In life, there's a lot of trouble. And you have to realize that just like the game of trouble, you're going to take some hits. And some of those hits are going to be because you're a Christian. Here's the other hit that you're going to take that you need to avoid. The other hits that you're going to have in life are because of sin. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, these are the three areas that Satan's going to come after you. And guess what? When I look back on my life, the times that I got in the most trouble were the times that I was involved in sin. Because I decided to sin. Because I decided to do those things. Because I decided to go out with my friends and do this. Or I decided to get into the peer pressure and do that. Most of the times I was in trouble just because I gave in to sin. And when you get into sin, you're going to take some hit. And that's what the world would like to tell you. They like to juice up sin. They like to make it look pretty. They like to make it look fun. And what happens is when they do that, you get into trouble. And some of those effects you won't see until way down the road. See, God's our Creator. He knows what's good and bad. He'll teach you out of trouble if you just do what He says. But we can't do that, can we? We can't follow the path which God has laid out for us. We want to make our own path, go our own way. And when we do that, we make trouble for ourselves and those that are around us. So point number one, when you go throughout this life, you're going to take some hits. Some hits are going to be from others, but the ones you really need to avoid are the hits that come from yourself because you decide to engage in sinful activity. Avoid it because it's going to cause you trouble. Point number two. So what happens when we take these hits? Either from others or because we ourselves have engaged in sinful activity, what do? How can we take those hits when we get set back to start? What do we do? What do we do? We keep on rolling. Just like the game of trouble. It's like you might take a hit and you might get set back to start, but guess what? You're going to get another turn and you're going to get a roll. Take that opportunity to roll and go throughout life. The question is, you get a roll again, but where are you going to go? I'm going to tell you where you should go. You should just follow that path. One of the things I love about the game is there's only one path to go. It's straight and it's narrow and you just go one at a time and you go all the way around the board. It's one path. There's no tricks. You know, there's no chutes or ladders or anything like that. There's no shortcut. You just go around the board and you follow that straight and narrow path. It's laid out for you. It's laid out for you. God hasn't left you in the dark. He's left us His inspired word to light our path. The psalmist wrote Psalm 119 and 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has not left us into the dark. When I teach science, what I try to do is I try to tell my students every week what's going to be on the quiz on Friday. I tell them exactly what's going to be on the quiz. I said on Friday, we're going to look at dominant and recessive genes, and you're going to have to do for me a kind of square. They know exactly what I expect on Friday. I give them an example of it on Monday. We work on it all throughout the week. And guess what? Friday. dominant, receptive genes, punish players. That's what they see.
I'm not trying to get them to fail. I'm trying to lead them in the way. In the way to the goal.
That's what Christ has to do for us with his inspired word. But what we do is we take the lamp, we take the flashlight that leads our path, and we throw it away.
If you throw away the word of God, you're in the dark, you're not going to be able to see anything. Don't throw away the word of God. So when you're rolling,
you're taking the turn in life, you have to take the light with you.
So you can see the path which God has laid for you, and you can follow that straight and narrow path right to where we want to go.
Throughout this life, as we keep rolling, we have to know that there are going to be struggles and things that are going to come up in our lives. Every single one of us faces struggles.
We all have troubles. My life is not free of them, and I know yours isn't either.
It wasn't 10 years ago, I was in high school. It wasn't 10 years ago, I was in middle school.
And we are challenging God
as we try to fit in to those that are around us. But yet, it's so hard when we are so peculiar. We have to stay focused on the goal.
See, it's easy when you take a hit and you get sent back to start to lose the focus on the goal. What's the goal? You get around the board and cross the finish line. You lose focus. And the Bible is constantly telling us to stay focused.
To stay focused. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Says, brethren, I do not count myself to have attended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God. It's so easy in our lives to forget about what's important.
And it's happened to me.
Brian was actually talking about it here in a second. When I was in school, I played basketball. I played basketball every chance I could get. And I was pretty decent at basketball. I played on a pretty good team. I wasn't the best player. Pretty good. But not the best. What started happening is Sunday started coming around.
And for whatever reason, they scheduled all my tournaments on Sunday.
And my game started being on Wednesday night. It's so easy to lose focus throughout life.
It's so easy to wander off the straight and narrow path. It's so easy to forget about what we are running for. We're running for the finish line. We're trying to get around the board. And as we get around the board, we're going around the board. Somehow we look off the path and we look, oh, look at that. And we run off the path. Stay on the path. Stay on the path and get to heaven. Get to the finish line.
And sometimes you have to forget about those things that people have done in the past. To the people that are trying to hold you back. They're trying to get your focus off those things that are really important. There's a time in my life that was pretty jealous. It was right after I became a Christian. I was actually asked to preach when I was 18 years old. I don't know what happened. I don't know what I was thinking, but I said yes. When Jerry did that, I told him to ask for the Southern one time. I don't know what happened. I said yes. So I started preaching, and I got so much encouragement. I kept going and trying to serve God the best of my ability. And then nothing happened. No one was listening. My friends weren't listening in high school. My friends weren't listening in college. Now I was traveling out. No one was listening to the good news. I went to a very dark place. Very dark place of depression. I was happy and couldn't focus.
I lost perspective.
We continue on in Philippians. And I talked to a great, great friend, which we're going to talk about a little later today. The great friend sat me down when I was about as hurt as I could be. When I felt rejected, when I felt alone, when I felt like everyone was hitting me from all angles. And he turned me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says there, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things that are true, the things that are lovely, the things that are noble. But somehow throughout life, we get distracted by all the crap of life. We get distracted by the negative. We get distracted by all the I can't, I won't, all the negative of life. Somehow we lose perspective. And we're just trying to get to that finish line. We forgot to take our turn and keep on rolling. keep on rolling. When you keep on rolling through our life, you're still going to take some hits, but you're going to have to keep on rolling. You're going to have to stay on the guided path. You're going to have to stay focused. You can't lose perspective. So point number one is throughout life, you're going to take some hits. You're going to take some hits from others, and you're going to take some hits because you decide to live a life of sin. Point number two is that you have to keep rolling. After you take those hits, you've got to keep rolling. You can't stop. The game still got to be played. We've got to get to the finish line. We've got to get around the board. There's a game to be played. Keep on rolling. And point number three is get to the finish line. Get home. That's one issue that I have with the game of trouble is the end. It's not called home. See, that's home for me. And the world is messed up, haven't they? See, where they say is where you start on the game of trouble is home. See, where I'm going is my home. That's the finish line for me. The world always messes it up. And yet we sing the song all the time, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But somehow we lose perspective. And we forget. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, I'm just playing a game, I'm just trying to get around and get to the finish line, I'm trying to get through life and trying to get home. And what's cool is whenever your piece gets into home, because that's what I'm going to call it, the game you can call it whatever you want, once you get home, you don't have to worry about the hits anymore. There's no more hits in heaven. You don't have to roll anymore in heaven. You're there. You can enjoy paradise with our Lord, but you have to get to that finish line. You have to get through the troubles of life. You have to get there. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, don't focus on the things of this earth, but focus on the things that are above. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, don't focus on the things of earth, but focus on the things of the above. And we forget about that. If we'll take some hits in the game of trouble, and we get focused on getting set back, and forget about our main goal, get to the finish line. Get to the finish line. That's what I'm after. And the Bible tells us about this finish line. And I don't know if there's a prettier place. I don't think it can be described by words. I don't think we'll understand until we're there. But in John chapter 14, he talks about preparing a place for mansions. Now, do I think it's little mansions? I just think it can't be described. But you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he talks about a house not made with hands. I don't know about you, but can you think of a house not made with hands? Every house that I know is made with hands. God prepared a place for us that He made without hands. A house not made with hands. My wife and I just bought a house. We had to do a lot of fixing up, a lot of remodeling. And I appreciate a house not made with hands. House not made with hands. He's preparing it for us. He's preparing it for it. It's right past the finish line. It's not far away. We can get there. But you got to take a hit. And when you take this hit, you got to keep on rolling throughout this life. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, I really don't want to mess it up, but please turn it. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. It's so beautiful. What we read there. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. It says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be no more pain. And the former things have passed away. What's the Bible trying to tell us here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4? There's going to be no more trouble. What an idea! There's going to be no more hits. There's not going to be any more trouble. No more tears. Are you kidding? Does this place exist? No more tears? I can't tell you how many times I've cried over sins of my loved ones, sins of my family, sins of my peers. People who have passed on from this life, who have decided to get overwhelmed by the hits of this life, who have decided to stop taking their turn and to stop rolling. People who have stopped short of the finish line. No more tears. But it continues on. I mean, tears would just be enough for me. Tears would just be enough for me. But it says there will be no more death. No more death of grandparents, brothers and sisters, loved ones. No more death.
No more sorrow nor crying, and there shall be no more pain.
For the former things have passed away. Our finish line, when we cross it, we're going to be safe. See, when you get to the finish line in trouble, and you get into that little area, you're safe. You're safe. There's no more hit. There's no more rolling or work. You can just relax. See, when it comes to the game of trouble, when it comes to the game of life, when it comes to the Christian life, you have to understand it's not easy life.
See, and for some reason when I first became a Christian, I thought it was. I thought it was going to be easy.
And yet I found there's some trouble with the Christian life. What I try to do as a Christian, I try to avoid the sin. And if I can keep that sin out of my life, that's going to keep a lot of physical pain and torture and fear out of my life. And I can just focus on the goal ahead. Am I going to take hits? Yes, I am. I don't like to take hits. It's not my goal. But that's what we see the apostles doing. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "How can I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" When I tell people the truth, sometimes they get mad at me. That's not my intention. That's not my goal. I'm after the soul. That's what I'm after. But yet, sometimes we take some hits. Throughout this life, there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some tribulation. There's going to be some persecution if you decide to Christian life. But it's the only life worth living. Because at the end, there's a finish line. And once you go on this life, on this, as you go through life, if you're going to see some of your friends, some of your family take some hits, encourage them, help them, send them the message to keep on rolling because we're shooting for that finish line. Not only do I want to get there, I want as many people to get there as I can. I want to help people get there as much as I can. That's our goal. 3 points. I tried to make them as simple as I could. Don't always do that with that. Just throughout life, you're going to take some hits. Some hits are going to be from others, just because you live a Christian life. Some hits are going to be because you decide to live a sinful lifestyle and do sinful things. Avoid those. Make Christ the center of your life. When you take hits in your life, whether it's sin or from others, you need to remember, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how isolated it gets, no matter how sad you feel, you've got to keep on rolling. When your turn comes around, roll that dice and get moving again. We've got to keep moving so we can get to that finish line. And number 3 is finish. Once you finish, we get to go to a house not made with hands. We get to go to a prepared place that God has prepared for us. And there will be no more trouble. No more trouble. No more tears. No more pain. No more death. We get to go home. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How easily we forget that throughout life. What a short span of life. And so many times we lose perspective on the finish line. Don't lose perspective on the finish line. You don't take some hits. No doubt. Throughout your life, you just have to never keep on rolling and get there. And you can go home. I think Rick and I have many things in common because we're brothers in Christ. But I think if I remember right, Rick, you hate goodbye. Am I right? Rick, many times at church campus, I encourage you to go to if you have any opportunity. Either one, West Virginia Christian Youth Camp, Rick, when I'm usually there. But Rick will always leave a little early. He hates goodbye. I share this with Rick. Unfortunately, I have brothers who love to say goodbye. In a sense of they have to have that last interaction with those people. I hate goodbye. It's like a dagger through my heart. I hate saying goodbye. Kills me. Kills me. I hate to say goodbye. If I could sneak away as bad as I would, that's how I do it. I just walk out and you don't have to say goodbye anymore once you get home. You don't have to say goodbye. There's going to be some trouble in this life. You don't take some hits. Keep on rolling and get to that finish line. If there's any way I can help you, I'd love to. Same with all the people here. We all care about you and love you. We know you have hard lives, and we want to help you as much as you can. But you're going to take some hits. You got to keep on rolling, get to that finish line, and cross it. Thank you.